Good evening, Rodney P. Welcome to the Friday Night Live Show.
What's happening, brother?
Yeah, I'm doing well. You're hearing us nice and clear now. Is that all nice and
clear? Yeah. I can hear you Chris now, bro.
Ah, that's perfect. Listen, man, thanks for taking the time out. I know you've always got a busy schedule. You're a travelling man.
No doubt.
And of course, when it comes to travelling, I think this is like a massive part of your career. You know, when you look back through all the time that you've been within music, I think the reason why I'm talking to you now and the reason why Rodney P has never changed is because your mind has always been absolutely wide open. Am I correct?
No doubt, Bob. I try to keep it, you know, as open as possible. There's a lot of experiences out there in the world that I'm trying to get with. So, yeah, definitely, man. It's about keeping it moving and keeping it interesting for myself. So, yeah, definitely. I'd like to consider that I had an open mind, no doubt.
Yeah, and I saw...
And musically, I mean, for me, musically, it's always been that. It's always been about collaborating and making interesting new stuff. So,
yeah man,
it's about pushing it forward, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And I saw one piece of advice that you always seem to give artists when people say, well, you know, have you got any advice, Rodney, for artists out there? You always seem to say, enjoy what you do. You always say that.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. That's absolutely rule one. You know what I mean? I mean, no offense to people who work in the post office, but I could be working in the post office. I could be up at 5 o'clock in the morning delivering mail. I could be, you know, I could be unemployed just signing on the dole. I mean, be thankful for whatever it is you're doing. And this music thing, from the outside looking in, it looks like it's all fun and laughter, but there's a lot of hard work going into this thing. And it makes it a lot easier to do if you love it first and you enjoy doing it.
Yeah. And of course, you've been a person that's been a major part on top of the UK scene, all the way from, you know, the days of London Posse, right the way through to today. And of course, if we're saying, look, artists out there in the UK, enjoy what you do first and then build from that. Have you seen now, and what could you name now, and have you seen barriers being built since the days of London Posse within the industry, within the UK? Or do you think it's actually got easier for UK artists now?
I think it's a bit of both, you know, bro. I think the whole making music experience has got easier for everybody, generally. So it's easier to make music, and in a lot of ways, it's easier to get your music heard because of the internet and, you know, free access to the airwaves. But then on the other side, the industry has kind of locked it down. So if you want to go in and get into, you know, the top 10 of the charts, if you ain't working with Simon Cowell, then the odds are minimal. So it kind of works two ways. But I think the good thing that's happening now in the UK is that all of these different scenes are kind of pulling together and making a strong power base. Because a lot of people are fighting against the commercial success in the UK at the moment. But personally, I think it's a good thing, and it's about what comes behind it. I mean, I got into hip hop listening to, you know, underground hip hop stuff, but you know, there's a lot of kids whose first experience of hip-hop music was Chris Cross doing Jump, or Jazzy Jeff doing Parents Ain't Nothing But Trouble, or MC Hammer doing You Can't Touch This, Can't Touch This. And that led them into this world of hip-hop that we all love. So I ain't fighting against no one's commercial success. It's a good thing. You should embrace that. And then we should take that and motivate us to go and do better within the scenes we're coming from. So right now, it's a good time. For me, it's a good time. I ain't a fan musically of a lot of what I'm hearing, but I'm a fan of the hustle, and people are hustling real hard right now, and that just opens up doors for everybody.
I've got to admit, I'm not a fan of groups like N-Dubs, etc., but I saw them when they were just on MSN. You know, they were an MSN group. They had their MySpace, and they never stopped. We're talking 2002, 2003. They were everywhere saying, can you play our track? Can we get on your show? Can we do that? And now they're everywhere. You know, they're kind of on top of the pop. Smash Hits, if they were still around. That kind of status, though, for an artist.
Exactly.
And you can't knock that.
My thing is, like you say, I mean, I don't play N-Dubs in my house. You know, that's not getting no play on my stereo. But I respect their hustle, and I know they work hard for their position. You know, so you know, a lot of the times people get it confused with being the best rapper and being the best hustler. And unfortunately, you know, it's supposed to be strictly about the music, but really it's about the hustle. And the guy with the best hustle usually wins in this thing. This music business thing, it's the guy who handles his business the best usually wins, not the guy with the best music. And you need to keep that in mind. Like, if you think you're good and you've really got something you want to say, then be prepared to hustle hard to get people to hear that shit. Otherwise, they probably won't.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, like you mentioned earlier, it's like I always say to people on the show, it's at your fingertips now. Artists, you've got it at your fingertips. You hold your own promotion now. You don't need these snakes who get paid money for doing nothing talented. You just get out there and you can just get on the web and you can let yourself be heard and known.
You just got to be motivated.
Yeah, exactly. Do you feel, though, that some of these artists that you kind of admire their hustle of, do you feel that maybe they hold responsibility for the decline of UK hip-hop as we know it and as we knew it?
No, I don't think that. And again, I don't want no one to be confused into thinking I'm a fan of these artists. I'm not a fan of these artists. Although I've got a five-year-old son and he really likes Chipmunk. And I'm cool with that. If that's his introduction into hip-hop, I'm cool with that. It ain't the most groundbreaking hip-hop, but it's all right. Just commercial rap. In terms of who holds the responsibility for the breakup of UK hip hop, I would say there's a lot of elements that go into that, but the biggest element I would say is us. We have to take responsibility for our scene, and if we let our scene fall to the side, it's because we weren't doing something right. But if you look at the success of all these other scenes, the grime scene, the garage scene, the jungle scene, they're all kind of insular scenes that look after themselves from the inside out. And within the UK hip-hop scene, what you found in the early days going forward was that the scene was always looking for the major label deal and always looking outside of itself to better itself. And the lesson we didn't learn was that we need to do it for us. So we failed. As a scene, we failed. I personally believe that. But, you know, the clock is eternal and the clock's still ticking. And the opportunity is there for us now to do better. And it's about making sure we're making the tunes that the people want to hear. And I don't mean commercial tunes. I mean good hip-hop tunes. There's so many artists out here that make good music that you just haven't heard of for so long. You know, these UK artists, including me, who take these massive hiatuses that you don't hear from us. I've been on the road for the last 2 years, like performing, doing like big shows. But really, I should have had some music out. Because I'm part of this scene and the scene needs feeding. And we ain't been feeding it right, so we need to take responsibility for that.
Now, of course, you've been a very successful radio DJ as well on BBC One Extra. Surely we must hand some of the responsibility for the change in the UK scene to the DJs, though. The DJs have jumped on the hype. They've jumped on the hype of grime, and they've really aided grime, and they've really aided all these different art forms that you're talking about. But really, with UK hip-hop, could we say the DJs just blanked it?
I would say absolutely, the responsibility definitely lies at the DJs too. Absolutely. But they ain't really shown no respect for this music that we love at all, generally. You know, and you know, not to be boasty, but since the original Fever show that me and Skits was doing, there's a lot of artists who just ain't getting no play. Like, not national play like that. Like, you know, there are a lot of shows like yours that I know are supporting the scene to the fullest. And that's why I'm glad that you took some time to come and talk to me, bro. But generally, the UK scene ain't getting no love on the airwaves or on TV or in any of those spots. And it's a real failing. It's quite disgusting how gutless a lot of these DJs are. And it is being gutless because a lot of these guys will listen to this music. They just won't play it because they don't think their bosses or their radio chiefs want them to play that stuff. And in a lot of cases, their bosses don't want them to play that stuff. You know, there's a lot of hypocritical talk going on out here in the world where supposedly, you know, the scene gets all the support in the world, but the reality is something else. There ain't no love for us out here, so we need to make sure we love each other and get our thing running for us to do that.
What sort of balance have we got then in the radio? Let's look at the BBC, because obviously you've had first-hand experience. When it comes to the sort of shackles of what DJs, the main urban DJs, can play, is the playlist in your hands on the BBC? Can you choose what you play?
When me and Skits were doing our show, I don't know how it's running yet at the moment, but when me and Skits were doing our show, we were doing a show. We didn't have any playlist. The playlist didn't affect me one way or the other. In terms of putting together the playlist, they would have playlist meetings. And originally, it was any DJ could go into the playlist meetings and put your ideas forward and submit tunes. And then they took it to members of each different type of music, members of the team. Because, I mean, in all honesty, a lot of DJs just wouldn't turn up. So they picked specific members of the team and they know what was doing that. And that's how they did it. So the playlist was put together quite well, I would say, when we were at One Extra. And how they do it now, I can tell by listening to One Extra, it's not the same. But how they do it now, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think there's always going to be a shackle to any DJ that just wants to play good music. It's always going to be a shackle, you know, but there are commercial restraints that you have to look at, even for a station like the BBC. Mm. Even though it's funded by the people, it still has to answer to, you know, higher forces.
You see, the way I look at it, and this is only my opinion, obviously, but when yourself and Skits were involved in One Extra, it was a good time for the station. It was a time when there was hope there. There was hope that, yes, you know, the quality music that all the talented artists out here are making, it will be supported nationally. But now, to me, One Extra failed. It failed, and it ended up becoming a kind of BBC Radio 1 for younger people. I don't know. I just don't think it achieved what I thought it was going to achieve.
You know what? I mean, I'm thankful for the time I spent at One Extra. I had a good time there. I met some good people. But what I originally signed on for is not what it's delivering at the moment. And I think that's a shame, because the original philosophy and idea for One Extra was something that I was so proud to be part of. And I really don't think it's delivering anymore. Why that is, I don't know. I'm not in One Extra anymore. I know there's a few people who feel the same way as I do about that. But, you know, for me, it was a fantastic time and a fantastic learning experience. So,
yeah,
I give thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I understand that. I mean, it's we can never detract from the time that you were there. But I mean, now we've got this thing. And if it were just a standalone thing that sort of people did dismiss as kind of a radio station for younger people, and it plays you kind of Drake and everything else, that'd be fine. But you've got DJs on there labeling themselves as the only hip hop DJ on the BBC. And so you've got your underground hip hop heads. Can I even...
Who does that?
Semtex, I believe, labels himself as the only hip hop DJ on One Extra. That's what he calls him. That's the only hip hop show on One Extra. Yeah, that's his label. That's his label.
Well, let's ask yourself if you're telling the truth, because I'm not sure. Like I said, I don't actually listen to One Extra. I don't think it's Westwood's been a hip hop DJ. He's a daytime DJ now, ain't he?
Yeah, he's got a little bit of a show on BBC, but now he's gone to One Extra, and he's, of course, adopted the grime scene. He's trying to support a lot of young artists, I think.
Yeah,
so.
For Westwood, that's supporting the UK thing. But, I mean, for Westwood, I don't even want to get into a discussion about other man's business, but it's a way to keep yourself current, you know?
Yeah.
You go where the flavour is. Nothing new there. People have been doing that forever.
Yeah, I mean, Westwood came on the show this time last year, and he admitted it. It wasn't like he kind of came through saying, no, that's not me. He just said, yeah, that's what I do, and, you know, I've got to have a career. And he was quite honest with it, and there's no more you can really say, like you say, on that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's like, you know, Westwood's doing his thing. The one thing I would say for Westwood, like, and I always have to end any conversation I have about Westwood like this, is that Westwood has done more for this UK hip-hop scene than most of mine could even imagine. And I came onto the scene and found Westwood here, and he was my lifeline to this thing. So, you know, no matter what your opinion is of him now, you know, Westwood, like he says, he's got a career now. He's an entity now. Westwood is a brand now, you know. But that dude, you know, we all owe a good fair bit, especially in London, we owe a good fair bit to Westwood. So, let's be real, you know. You can't knock the guy's hustle. He's hustled for this thing hard, and he's changed his position, but, you know, he's earned the right.
Yeah, that's a good point, isn't it? He's earned the right. But there are DJs on One Extra that haven't earned the right to say anything they say. They've not earned the right to do anything, and yet they flaunt this. And what it does, and this is what gets me, it changes people's minds about hip-hop, this thing that we love, hip-hop. It changes people's minds about what hip-hop is.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at it like that, bruv, then I would say that there isn't a hip-hop DJ on One Extra. I can't say I've listened to Semtex's show recently, because I haven't. But in terms of what I call hip-hop, I would suspect there's a lot of non-hip-hop being played on
Temptation Show. Yeah, definitely. Let's leave it there, man. Let's talk about yourself a little bit more before we get to break out of here. One particular question that a lot of listeners have been...
Do you know what, fam? I'm just, as we're sitting here, you know, I'm just thinking, I didn't send you no music. I'm going to hook you up, though. Watch by next week, you'll have some fresh old new music in your inbox, trust me.
Yeah. All right, man. No, that'll be perfect if we can get that new music. Because that leads us to the question that a few listeners have been asking, is where has Rodney P been? Why haven't we heard any new solo material for a couple of years? What's been happening?
I've been on the road, bro. I mean, I put my album out, and that was all good. I went on the road with my band for that. And then it was a brush of, a fresh, I think it's some fresh air. And I got involved with this band called the Dub Pistols, which is like a ska, indie, punk, rock, reggae, funk kind of band. And I've been on the road doing work with them, brother. And I've been enjoying it and reconnecting with the vibes of why I like doing music. If you've ever seen us out on the road in any of the festivals we did over the summer, you'd know that it was just pure energy, beer, fun. Like, yeah, I just reconnected with the vibes. I recently knocked that on the head. I've been in the studio. I've got a few bits for a few people, and I'm in the midst of doing my album. I've got some stuff, though. I can't lie. I'm hitting them out of the park at the minute. I'm going with things, trust me.
I'm really happy to hear that because, you know, you have artists like Blade who just said, right, I've had enough of this industry. I've had enough of everything. That's me. Yeah. I'm done. And to his credit, that was it. He wasn't like, oh, I might come back. He didn't do a Jay-Z. That was it.
Yeah.
And I just feared that maybe that might have been in your mind at some point. Did you ever think that? Did you ever think, look, I've had enough of this?
I can't even lie. You know, after I put my album out, there was a point I was kind of done with this thing. Mm-hmm. And it was really, and when I say done with this thing, I mean done with it as being so ingrained in it. Like, I enjoy hip hop as the music and the art form and the whole scene. No, it's not a rap music thing. I'm a hip hop kid, and I forgot why. Like the whole mix up of putting out records and, you know, doing the business end of it. I forgot why I love it. And yeah, I was ready to just be a fan, right? You know. And then the whole Dub Pistol stuff came around. Like I said, I was just able to just turn up and get on the mic and MC and have a party, get paid and leave. I didn't have to do anything. It was a no-brainer. I was just turn up and have a party. Fucking fantastic. Sorry, brother. I'm sorry.
It's fine. It's conspiracy. Okay. It's fine.
But you know, yeah, that was the case. I was just having fun. And that just reconnected me with the energy. And then I looked around and thought, man, I'm better than these cats. So I'm back. Come to hurt some boys this year. What? It's going to be a problem. Trust me, bro.
Excellent, man. So what are we talking then? Obviously, you're working very hard on the new album. Have you got any idea when all your fans should be on the lookout for this new music from Rodney P?
Well, look for me this summer. Because I'll tell you, there's Skits' album that we finished. Skits' album is done. So I'm on there, so you'll be hearing that soon. I've been recording some stuff with Red Bias, who is a big producer. We've kind of been collaborating on some stuff. He's known in there from the UK garage scene for a tune called Neighborhood. That was a massive garage tune, and we've done some stuff. I've done something for Blame, who's a big drum and bass producer, for his album. And then I've been doing stuff with like DJ Dye from Bristol, which is hip-hop stuff, but on just a different flip. And I was like, Yeah, man. It's good times. I'm feeling energized, like I say.
Yeah, exactly.
And when I go on the road, I'm taking my band. It's going to be big, trust me.
Yeah. No, you're known for your live shows, but I mean, like we come back to that point we said earlier, you've always got an open mind, listen to all that different forms of music, but quality music, music I can respect as well, you know, the different genres, you know, talented people making the music.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's important that you never jump on bandwagons, but you just go with the stuff you like. And that's another bit of advice I would give to any artist coming up. Don't be scared to just make tunes you like. You don't have to put it in a box. It doesn't have to be, you know, one thing. When you leave the studio, can you like play that tune in your car on the way home and say, yeah, I like that tune. And if you can, be free. Make that. It doesn't have to be like, I'm a hip-hop kid. Everything I do has got hip-hop in it. But it don't mean everything I do has to sound like Primo made it. Like, you know, it's a many and varied life out here, man. Go on and live it. Go on and indulge. Yeah. Try some stuff. It's good for you.
I totally agree with you, man. You got to understand, though, as you do know, a lot of artists have never been in the position you've been in, have they? They've never lived. And never been on magazine covers, never had their own radio show on BBC, you know. So a lot of people just won't.
Yeah, but there was a point that I'd never had any of those things. Mm. And I came into it with this mentality. You know, this mentality didn't come after the radio show. or after getting a magazine cover. This mentality came before those things and got me those things.
Yeah, and it was all before the likes of N-Dubs and Tinchy Stride. This is what I'm saying, that people look to that and they say, that's famous. That's famous nowadays. That's when I'm famous. That's when I've made it with my music. So I just feel like a lot of people, even what really I hate, and we'll finish on this what I hate thing in a minute, but what I really do hate is when artists that I used to respect in the UK used to make great UK music. They were trying to get themselves out there. They had the hustle going. I really respected them. And then they come back with a whole new sound and they've just jumped on a bandwagon. And these are artists that, you know, I look at. And they're not artists that have been on magazine covers and everything. They're just underground artists that I really respect, and I think even those artists are having to do that now. Even they think, damn, I've got to do this, like,
no one ain't got to do shit, bro. No one ain't got to do shit. My whole thing is, for me, just for me personally, I think in the hip-hop thing, I'm the one who's been out the longest. I've got the most years. I'm calling OG status on that shit. And I would say the reason I've been out so long is because I've never been a bandwagonist, bro. When you hear me, you know what you're getting. Like, you could hear me on Garage, drum and bass, grime, you could hear me on anything. But you're going to know that's Rodney P doing my Rodney P thing. I'm not selling out my thing for I'm not chasing no one else's dream. And because of that, what I'm selling these days is credibility. I'm hope so that, like, when you know that it's me, you know there's a certain amount of effort has gone into that shit that I ain't prepared to give up. You know? And I think when you jump bandwagon is when you just shoot yourself in the foot, bro. Because you just give away your integrity as an artist. And I'm an integral dude. I'm an integral man, let alone an integral artist. I stand behind what I believe in. And this music thing is not something I didn't get into making music to become rich and get on top of the pops. I got into making music because I love the music. That hasn't changed. So I've never been no bandwagon thing. It's not that.
No, exactly, man. That's, like you said, you nailed it. Credibility. Credibility is the key. Listen, man, I'm going to jump to some listener questions right now. It's got a few come in, and then we'll get to round things up. Donald in Brighton asks, as a hip-hop fan, first and foremost, who is Rodney P feeling in 2010 when it comes to artists who he believes have artistic integrity? Quite a big question. Artistic integrity of artists.
Right.
I mean, off the top, who you think, who you feeling?
It's a big question, you know. I mean, it's hard to judge an artist's integrity. I like Wale. Wale's cool. I think he's not necessarily. He's got that tune with Lady Gaga that I hate, but I don't think that really represents what he's about if you listen to his album. So I like him. I like the new Ed OG and Master A stuff. I love that. New artists. I'm not over enamored with that many new artists, to be honest. I mean, I really don't know. I mean, I like Styles P and Sheik Looch, and I like Talib Kweli, which for me is two ends of the spectrum. And they've recently got some tunes together. It's just like magic for me. So, you know, I like Raekwon's last album. I thought was amazing. I don't know, but if you shoot some names at me, I'll tell you if I'm feeling them or not. I like Brother Ali as well. Brother Ali, I think he's nice. Definitely.
You're just mentioning quality artists, man. That's what you mentioned here. Just real quality artists. Just put out quality music, and this is what we're talking about. There's another list of questions to fire and say, no, what's your greatest studio memory of being with London Posse? I think what they're saying is, like, to just take us back to the London Posse days for this listener and just think about, you know, fondest studio memory in those times.
There'll be a few, man. There's a few. Like, making the London Posse, the Gangsta Chronicle album, there's a few big memories. Like, for instance, using the Fallout Shelter studio in their old Island building, the original Island Records building, and being sitting down with the engineers in there and being told, like, Bob Marley stories when Bob Marley was in there recording Exodus. Like, that was, like, that's a really... You realize that you're part of something then, you know? It was also, we were using a studio on an industrial site in Acton. And we were doing Live Like the Other Half. All I Want to Do is Live Like the Other Half, dude. We were using an old Coxon rhythm. It's on a Coxon rhythm. And Sir Coxon Dodd came to the studio and blessed us to use his rhythm. Like, big up the young'uns on, go on and do your thing on, like, Yeah, man. Being in the studio, making our coxswain rhythm with coxswain, that's a lot. Like,
yeah.
Especially for a young, impressionable teenager who grew up with a house full of 7-inch dubs and 7-inch reggae tunes that just had coxswain on them. Like, that was, I'd known that my whole life.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, yeah, man, amazing.
Great memories.
There's a lot of people. That road we could go. There's a whole book of this studio story.
Yeah.
You know, definitely.
You should get a book together. Get it out there, man. It'll be a great read. Classic time for UK music back then. Let's have a little look now. What else is just coming in? We'll get to round up. Let's have a look. We've got a few people just firing in kind of names. You asked for names. What about Waka Flocka? Are you up on the brand new Waka Flocka?
I've never heard of Waka Flocka.
Right.
Never heard of it.
He sounds as poor as his name is, so I think that's what the listeners are getting at. A few more things then. Let's have a look at this. Drake or J Electronica, asked one listener. Drake or J Electronica?
I'd say J Electronica. But I must say, I'm actually quite warm into Drake. And I said earlier, I'm not a fighter of commercial hip-hop. I think there's a place for many sounds in hip-hop. I think what we need to fight against is the bias shown to a specific sound in hip-hop, but we shouldn't fight against that sound because there's room for all different sounds in hip-hop. So I'm just throwing that out there. But I think Dre Electronica is an exciting MC, and he's imaginative and he's thoughtful. And he's also done a record, actually, with Zed Bias, the same guy I'm talking about. He's just done a track with Dre Electronica, which is amazing. It is big. Yeah, the tune's big. But Drake is cool with me still. You know, if I'm a bit drunk on a Saturday night in a bougie club, Sir Drake would go there. Lovely.
Yeah, goes down a treat. All right, listen, man, I want to wish you all the best. I'm looking forward to these tracks you can send through. If you get a chance to send them through tonight, we're on air till the early hours, so that'll be perfect.
All right, we can drop them in. If I get through on Twitter, I'll do that, bro.
All right, man, that's really appreciated. All right, take care. God bless, man. Thank you for everything. And
Good luck, fam. And
I hope to speak to you very, very shortly. Very soon.
No doubt. Respect for the invitation, bro. Yeah, man. I've been seeing how you're calling, and yeah, man, you're definitely doing your thing. So, big up, Mr. Montana. No doubt.
All right, man. Thanks a lot. Take care, Rodney P. We'll speak soon.
All right, Rodney P.
All right, peace. Rodney P., the Friday Night Live Show.